AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Show me the science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast. Now, this is the Christmas one. It's coming up to Christmas. I hope you're all wonderfully looking forward to it. I love the run into Christmas, to be honest. I love all the lights and the music and all sorts. But this week, I'm going to talk about the science of kissing. Just in case you find yourself under the mistletoe, go for it, is my advice. Sure, why not? If you feel comfortable going for it, of course. I've picked it because there has been a breakthrough on the kissing front. I wonder what scientists who study kissing are called. Could it be kissologists? There's a line for you. Anyway, the kissologists have made a breakthrough. And the breakthrough is they've answered the question, when did we first start kissing? Now, some of you listening in, it might have been a while since you've had a good kiss. But going back through history, it turns out it was over 20 million years ago. Isn't that ridiculous? They reckon humans, or at least our antecedents, began kissing. Now, the evidence for this I will come on to in a minute because it's a bit strange. But even still, we've been kissing as a species, at least descended from our ancestors, for at least 20 million years. That's an awful lot of snogging. But the other part of this week's podcast is, why do we kiss in the first place? And scientists have wondered about this. They've mulled over it. They've got various hypotheses. And we think we know why. And guess what? It's to do with your immune system, like most things are in my life. And it's all about the immune system, as I'll explain. But it's a strange thing to do, kissing, because you're a bit vulnerable. Mouth on mouth, of course, there's a risk of spreading diseases as well, which I'll also come on to. So it's a bit strange as an activity. But now the science is telling us an awful lot about it. Now, there were three possible reasons anyway for why we kiss. The first is obvious. It's an act of bonding. Now, we are a social species. The thing that defines humanity is that we're pack animals, as I often say. We hang around in groups and we like being together and hanging out. It's usually beneficial for our mental health because that's why we do it, I suppose. And we evolved to be social animals. So that's why socializing is extremely important. And kissing is a wonderful social interaction thing to do. You'll kiss someone to say, you're my friend, don't worry about it. You know, I often meet people, you'll kiss them on the cheeks. The French famously kissing both cheeks. So it's part of us being a social species is the overall idea. And of course, when that extends further, it's part of finding a mate. So you'll have partners kissing who might ultimately hook up, you might say, and get together. And that's where the immune system comes in, which I will come back to a little bit later. Now, the second reason, and get ready for this, it's a little bit squeamish. There's some evidence we kiss to clean each other's mouths. Now, I know that sounds a bit peculiar. But one possibility for kissing is you're trying to clear parasites from the other person's mouth. Doesn't that sound awful? But there is some evidence for this. When you do the deep kissing, that's a good mouth cleanser, and you might then be removing certain parasites from the mouth, and that would bring benefits as well because you're limiting the infection with parasites. The third is a really compelling one, I think, and is probably one of the strongest ones. It's a way for the mother to feed her baby. So babies can't chew, obviously, they've no teeth. And then when they get their baby teeth, those aren't very strong. So mothers would chew food and pass the food into the baby, and that's a way to feed the baby. But very importantly, it's pleasurable for the mother and the baby to do this. A bit like breastfeeding is pleasurable. Oxytocin, I've often mentioned, it goes up. And so therefore, it's a pleasurable thing to do. And maybe that pleasure continued then. In other words, once we grew up, we liked the sensation of kissing, and so we continued it. So it became a necessity for nutritional purposes, but then it was such a pleasurable thing that we continued doing it. And there are three reasonable, I suppose, ideas as to why we actually kiss. But now let's talk about the breakthrough. How have they figured out it was 21 million years ago? Well, scientists at the University of Oxford. Now, wouldn't you think they'd be doing something more important than this, like trying to find a cure for cancer? But no, they decided to try and answer the question, when did our species kiss first? And what they did was they looked at different primates. Now, not all primates kiss, as it happens. Some do and some don't, right? And in particular, we have kissing in orangutans, Bonobos, our closest relative, by the way, are the bonobos. Chimpanzees, other ones don't. And based on that, we had a common shared ancestor to the ones that all kiss, and that ancestor was around 21 million years ago. So basically, here it is. 21 million years ago, there was some species of hominid, as we call all of us, all primates, hominids. We're all descended from them. So are the bonobos, so are the orangutans, and so are the chimpanzees. So we probably think then it was this ancestral species that first began snogging. But they used a very elaborate kind of AI approach to study this, and the data looks pretty compelling. There are loads of different species of primate, and how do you know if one kisses or one doesn't? Now, very importantly, if you're a scientist, you define your variables, you define the problem you're trying to address. You had to define what kissing is. In this study, kissing was defined as friendly interactions involving directed mouth-to-mouth contact with a member of the same species. If you kiss your dog, that wouldn't classify as kissing. In this case, it's the same species. So I could tell two bonobos, mouth-to-mouth contact, directed, they go for each other, and it's all very friendly. So they were using that as a way to tell which primates kiss and which don't. And from that, then, they figured out that the ancestral species that we're all descended from must have been kissing, and that's where the idea came from. Bonobos are a very interesting species. They do loads of things that we do. They've been studied a huge amount. Chimpanzees, of course, are our other really close relative. We're 98% identical to chimpanzees, amazingly. And again, we would have had a common ancestor that gave rise to chimpanzees and to us, who would have kissed as well, I presume. So there you have the idea in terms of when we started kissing. Now, a second thing that's come up as well is, did we ever kiss Neanderthals? Now, around about 300,000 years ago, we evolved. The Neanderthals had evolved before us. They evolved 430,000 years ago, a long time ago. And we evolved in Africa. The Neanderthals ended up in Europe. And eventually, we go into Europe, probably around about 100,000 years ago, but that's a loose enough date. But we go into Europe and we meet the Neanderthals. Now, they are very close relatives to us, another species of hominid. And the big question was, did we interbreed with them? And the evidence is very strong that we did, because they've taken Neanderthal DNA and we share some of that DNA in our DNA. So we must be descended from Homo sapiens, getting it on with a Neanderthal. Some parts of the world, you'll see as much as 5 to 10% of DNA has come from Neanderthals. So we definitely had sex with them. And guess what? We must probably also have kissed them, is the idea here. There's a good rationale to saying that we did actually kiss the caveman, if you know what I mean. And then we also had babies with them. And then, of course, 40,000 years ago, the Neanderthals became extinct. It's a big mystery as to why they became extinct. We probably wiped them out, is the sad truth of it. So we certainly had kissed them. Now, there's also even better evidence than that. They have samples of Neanderthal skeletons and the mouths of those skeletons in the teeth. And guess what? There's the same bacteria as is in our teeth. Now, that probably means that we kissed, because we would exchange bacteria, and then you have consistency between the bacterial species, between two people that kiss. And maybe that's part of the evidence as to why we kiss Neanderthals. We share bacteria with them. And that's a strange part of this research, I guess. Now, getting onto bacteria, though, as I mentioned earlier, kissing could be seen as a very strange thing to do, because there's a risk of spreading germs. And there's loads of evidence for this. For example, infectious mononucleosis. It's caused by a virus called Epstein-Barr virus. It's also called glandular fever. It is called kissing disease. And teenagers all have it, because they never stop kissing each other, it seems. And that virus goes in and causes this glandular fever, Epstein-Barr virus. So we can exchange viruses by kissing. And that one's quite a serious one, because it turns out that EBV, Epstein-Barr virus, the virus that causes glandular fever, is a risk factor for multiple sclerosis. And I mentioned this on a previous podcast. That was a big discovery that was made. If you're positive for EBV, you have a 40-fold increased risk of getting MS. But it's not just EBV, because many of us have it and don't have MS. So it's also genetics and maybe some other environmental influence. But EBV links into MS. And we spread it through kissing. And many of us have that virus. Another virus that many of us have is the herpes simplex virus. And that causes cold sores. The bane of many a teenager's life, and adults as well, is the breaking out of a cold sore on the lips. Very painful, very irritated, you know, horrible. That's caused by a virus, herpes simplex. And you spread that in the saliva when you kiss. So certain pathogens, if you like, can spread through kissing. Again, making us wonder, you know, why kissing evolved. But still, obviously, these aren't life-threatening diseases. The benefits of kissing far outweigh the negatives. is the way to think of it. And that's why we kept doing it, I suppose. Now, what is a big benefit of kissing? Well, it relaxes us, and you can't beat a bit of relaxation. It's a way to bond, you know, and maybe it's part of mate selection. But guess what? A big reason for kissing, and this is probably the best science around this topic, is when you kiss someone, you're sampling their immune system. Bet you never thought of that when you were kissing someone. And what's happening is the saliva is full of immune cells, and you're detecting those immune cells. And quite how we detect them isn't fully clear, but still, you will pick someone who will have an immune system not too similar to yours, because that would mean inbreeding. The genetics is shared between you, both of you, and inbreeding is bad for species, because you're it's a relatives, and there's genes that are shared between the relatives that carry into the fetus that can cause harm. So you're trying to figure out, are they a relative or not? But equally, they can't be too different, because if the other person's immune system is too different to yours, there's a risk that the woman carrying the baby will reject that baby because it's so different to her system. So what you want here is the famous Goldilocks effect. Not too hot, not too cold. You want to have sex with someone whose genes are similar to yours, but not too similar. If they're too similar, it's too much inbreeding. If they're too different, your immune system could well reject that fetus, because it will carry these very foreign genes in the other person, if you know what I mean. So it's kind of a clever balancing act here. And it turns out that when you kiss, you're kind of picking up on the other person's immune system and detecting it. Now, guess what? It's tied into sense of smell and sense of taste, strangely. And you're kind of tasting the person, and you'll taste them and then figure out from the taste their similarity to you. And you'll finally figure out they're a bit similar, but they aren't too similar from that. Isn't that an amazing thing? You're detecting the MHC, it's called, this part of the immune system. So it's a striking business that we're sampling someone to see if their genes are adequate for you if you want to have a baby with that person, especially for the woman, because she is at risk of rejecting the fetus if it's too different to her. So that's a very important part, we think, of kissing then. It's to figure out the person to have sex with such that the baby will thrive and won't be rejected by the mother. And then secondly, won't have been inbred and kind of all kinds of flaws. Isn't evolution a marvelous thing? Now, the other thing to say about the immune system is saliva is full of germ killing substances. And of course, it makes sense, because we put food in our mouths and that food could be full of bacteria. You got to have a way to limit the bacteria. There's an enzyme in saliva, it's called lysozyme, and that can dissolve bacteria on contact. And in fact, it was one of the very first immune molecules ever characterized in the early 1900s. And it was an Irish immunologist. Let's give a shout out to the Irish, Almuth Wright, spelled with W-R-I-G-H-T. We'll look him up. Almuth Wright, he discovered lysozyme in saliva, a protein, an enzyme that can dissolve bacteria. And that's a very important part of how we handle bacteria in our mouths. The lysozyme kills them. And then secondly, we have things called antimicrobial peptides. They are tiny pieces of proteins, and they can also burst open bacteria. So it turns out your saliva is pretty good. It's full of bacteria killing substances. And maybe that's why many creatures lick their wounds. Animals often lick their wounds, and they're putting saliva into the wound to kill any bacteria that may be growing in that wound. So good science there with what's contained in the saliva. And then maybe when you kiss then, you're exchanging some of these bacterial killing factors. Another key feature of kissing is, guess what? Saliva production goes up when you're kissing. And that's a good thing as well. You're making more saliva to kill any germs, first of all. That's the main reason probably how the extra saliva is being made, because the person you're kissing could well be putting a bacteria in your mouth. So make more saliva to kill it and flush it out, of course, flush it down into your stomach. That's why we're making saliva there, very importantly. And you're replenishing the defences by making all this extra saliva. So saliva can kind of keep your teeth clean as well. It's cleaning your teeth. I wouldn't be suggesting you replace brushing your teeth with lots of snogging necessarily, but certainly making more saliva is a good way to keep the teeth clean and to kill off nasty germs that are in your mouth when you're kissing. Another thing they found is whatever's happening during kissing, you can suppress an allergic reaction. And this is unexpected. And this is a great study. I wonder who did this one. They got people with hives. Now, a hive is a typical allergic response. It's called urticaria is the medical name for this. You can get hives in response to all kinds of allergens, metals and various things. They noticed that when people kissed, the intensity of the hive went down. Now, it did take 30 minutes of kissing. So whoever did this study deserves a special medal for perseverance. And what seems to be happening is, and it's inevitable, I'm going to say this, I said it earlier, kissing de-stresses you. and you feel more relaxed. And that somehow then allows the immune system to behave itself and prevents this allergic response from going into overdrive at the end of the year. So kissing can get rid of allergies to some extent as well. And that's a fascinating outcome from that study. And of course, when you're kissing, you're making loads of oxytocin, the love hormone, to bond us together. That's the social part of this. And that gets made in abundance after a good bit of kissing. And then secondly, you make endorphins. This has all been measured now in people. It's good science. And the endorphins make you feel good as well. So kissing makes you feel good because of oxytocin and endorphins. Of course, you want to be kissing a person you really want to be kissing, I imagine, in this situation. You've got to be relaxed anyway. If you're uptight, forget it. Don't kiss. And if you're kissing someone and you don't like it, stop the kissing, because it's not going to do you any good at all. But the relaxed kiss, as it were, would allow oxytocin and endorphins to go up. And guess what happens as well with a good old snog? Your heart rate goes up, and that's good for you too, because a good beating heart, blood is flowing, you're limiting to the build up of cholesterol in your blood vessels, your blood pressure goes down a bit, and all these are very beneficial things. So again, that must be part of why kissing is good for you. And if that's not enough, get this, another study, and you'd wonder, thousands of scientists all over the world studying kissing. It helps your complexion. Now, what's going on there? When you have a deep kiss, at least that's one name for it, 24 facial muscles are working when you're having a deep kiss. Isn't that amazing? And those muscles are flexing, and they keep your skin in good shape. They keep the skin nice and taut. So therefore, some of the lines and the wrinkles go slightly. It's good for your complexion if you have a deep kiss, because, you know, all these muscles are working. But you didn't know that 24 facial muscles are twitching as you kiss your partner. Isn't that marvelous? And then all that muscle activity will stimulate collagen. And collagen is a great way to even out lines on your face. So it seems to be a natural way to help your complexion. Maybe that's one reason why teenagers kiss so much. They want to keep their complexions fresh as they try and attract a mate. There is another good benefit for it, of kissing. Isn't that amazing? So it just shows you many benefits to kissing. Lots of science there and why we kiss. And as I say, remember, as Christmas comes on, don't be frightened under the mistletoe. If you fancy a little peck, that's fine. If it's someone you really fancy, maybe you'll go the whole hog and exercise 24 muscles while you're at it. And please do have a merry old Christmas. Make the most of the festive season. And thanks as ever for listening to my podcast. It's a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.